Good morning, shalom, and welcome to our wonderful prayer for Israel and our wonderful prayer force. God is raising you up. I hear your voices coming from all parts and places in the United States and our friends from Canada and Belgium as well. Thank you for your participation and your faithfulness. And it is exciting to be in the presence of God this morning as we lift up our voices in prayer and to be used by Him today. Let's begin by putting on our prayer armor, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. We're dressing for the occasion. Ephesians is our clothing. Finally, my brethren, if you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to read along with us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto us the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having our loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying. I would like to emphasize that particular portion of the Word, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying. We're on sure, solid ground when we're praying the Word of God. And we'll talk more about that. I want to give you a brief a synopsis of a meeting that we were in with John Hagee. I say we. Let me introduce myself. I'm Shelley, Billy's oldest daughter. And Mom, Billy, is in Texas, where she is recording with a wonderful saint of God by the name of Gloria Copeland. Maybe you've heard of her. And she and Gloria are doing 2 weeks of television taping that will be aired and made public later in the spring. So in the meantime, Mom has asked that I talk to you today about a couple of things concerning Israel and concerning our trip, our meeting that we had with the president and founder of Christians, of organization called CUFI. Maybe you're a member, maybe you're familiar with it, but maybe you're not. And for those of you who are not, it's an acronym for Christians United for Israel. It's the largest grassroots organization of its kind in America. And just within a few days, it will be reaching a membership of 4 million people. And so it is a strong voice in Washington. And so once a year, we meet in San Antonio, there at the church of Reverend John Hagee. And we have these meetings, these briefings. And he'll call in leaders, military analysts from Israel. He'll to speak to us. He will call in others, and just all day long, from 9 o'clock in the morning till dinner that night, we are being informed. And then those of us and Mother, I say us, it's Mother, one of a handful of people who are on the board, and they get an extended invitation to go to John and Diane Hagee, their camp, which is 3 hours away. And so we are blessed with an airplane. God blessed us with that several years ago. So on this plane, a man by the name of Gary Bauer. Now, Gary, he worked under President Reagan during the Reagan administration under the Secretary of Education. And Gary has always had his finger in the pie, so to speak, in a wonderful way. And he's boots on the ground representing Christians United for Israel. He and his wife live there in Washington. And so when he asked if he could join us on our airplane to take the three-hour trip from the San Antonio church out to the camp, it was like an extended private office for Mom and Gary to discuss things concerning Israel, concerning our president. And I was like the little mouse in the house. I was in there just pinching myself, thinking, well, I better take a picture of this. This is wonderful. And praise God, saints. I know that our prayers have brought this into fruition, where men of the cloth, men and women of ministry, are being tapped by political leaders for answers, for wisdom, for insight. And we just praise God for that. So glory to God. I'm excited about praying, and I want to get to prayer as soon as possible, but I sense I'm in my heart to finish this. Gary Bauer, his son is the right-hand man of Vice President Pence. His son, Zach, worked for Pence when Pence was the governor of Indiana. And so when Vice President was tapped as the presidential running mate of Trump, Pence took Zach, Gary's son, with him to Washington. And through a series of events, it was through this son and his association with the vice president that it helped open the door for the Hagees to have a meeting with the president, President Trump. And not only that, but they were invited to sit with him, with the president, and have dinner in the West Wing. And praise God, hallelujah, isn't that wonderful? Sat down dinner in the West Wing with the president. And so Reverend John Hagee was explaining to us that this was before our president had made the announcement to officially move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And so the president was sitting there at dinner and asking John Hagee for his advice and his opinion. And John Hagee, so beautifully, I can't even begin to do it, but you, if those of you who are familiar with him know what a command he has of the English language, and especially under the anointing. And John Hagee said, I sat there and I explained to him through the Word of God. I had my Bible. I showed him in the Word how God is a great planner and how he has fixed dates and how he these fixed dates are moeds, times, and that this is a fixed date in our history. And John went back to 1917 during the Balfour Agreement, World War One, and then 50 years later, John explained to him about the Six-Day War in Jerusalem and how Jews got back the whole of Jerusalem. And then 50 years later, of course, this would have been 2017. Remember, this conversation was before the public announcement to move our embassy. And so John Hagee is explaining to our president, here it is. 50 years after the reclaiming of the whole of Jerusalem in 67, here you are. And President, he said, Mr. President, 100 years from now in the annals of history, no one's going to know who you are and no one's going to know who I am. But like President Trump, like President Truman before you, that man is known as the president who was brave enough to recognize the modern state of Israel in 1948, and Truman went down in history. And so he says, Mr. President, if you want to be making a difference in history, then you be the president who has the strength to stand up and speak the truth based on the word of God that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel and to move our embassy there. And think about it. That's a due to prayer. Thank you, Father. Let's just praise the Lord and lift our voices in praise. Thank you, Father, that we had the privilege to work together with you, seated with Christ in heavenly places, taking our place there, seated with you, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And as we've used that name above every name to pray for our leaders, to pray for our kings, to pray for our presidents, to pray for our prime ministers, to pray for those who are in any position of authority, we pray for them for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Oh, Father, may the eyes of their understanding be flooded with light, that they may know the hope of their calling, that they may know the glorious inheritance in the saints. Oh, that's what happened. That's what happened when President Truman asked Reverend John Hagee, what is your opinion? That's what happened. That was Ephesians, that prayer in Ephesians, where it says that you may know the glorious inheritance. Trump was recognizing the inheritance in Hagee, Brother Hagee. And he asked, and this is a result of that Ephesians prayer. Oh, Father, we're so thankful. We're so encouraged. Oh, the fruit of prayer, the fruit of answered prayer, the fruit of us taking our place as the authority of the believer in the mighty name of Jesus and coming against the works of darkness. We bind you in Jesus' name. You get off of our leaders. You get off of those who are in authority. We speak the word of God in the spirit. There is no distance. We speak words of faith and love. Surround them, Lord, with your protection in Jesus' name. Surround them by the precious blood of the Lamb. Ah, for their direction, that they'll always be in the right place at the right time. And, oh, Lord Jesus, may you be the first love of our president. Oh, yes, that he may know you in a deeper way, growing in fellowship with you and in relationship with you, growing affectionately in you. Oh, we praise you, Lord, for making yourself more real to them and a refreshing in their body. A refreshing and a strengthening in their bodies in Jesus' precious holy name. Thank you. Imokombata delikia. Ambrola musi berelepoge. Ifala panche euroblusi cambombebetos. Ipo papelinumakoye. Andura la mashe leboye. Impo papanumali. And propelling them, Father. And propelling them not by might nor by power, but by thy Holy Spirit, propelling them in strength. Propelling them in the ability which God gives. Propelling them that as they speak, Father, it will be as the oracle of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Iprote, imokasa botelo, ishelobuye, boretanto telo sapariano. Internations, internation, international, papatita. We lift up Nikki Haley, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, surround her with protection, Lord, in the precious blood of the Lamb. Yes, yes, yes. We thank you, Father. Mighty angels on assignment there. Oh, yes, yes. Thank you, Father. Amatida barendas te berele moye. Iborudu tokosi and the renderabali. Into tapasa ne moke. Iko poshemininida. In the name, 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 in the name of the Lord. Loose them and then use them for your glory. Hallelujah. Makasuna. Iprotis de Berelikia. Oh, Father, I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We praise you and give you glory and honor. Thank you, Father, that we realize the heavenly responsibility to carry forward that which you've charged us with. Father, I thank you that our prayer closet becomes a council chamber from which spiritual commands go forth concerning matters widely varied in character and
separated in place. Father, I thank you for the privilege to speak thy word of command. And Father, I thank you that in your great, marvelous mercy, your great mercy that's new every morning, that you delight in co-working with your children. Oh, Father, thank you that we have caught your thought concerning the advancement of your kingdom. And, Father, we thank you that through prayers and through this prayer force and others that you're raising up, that you, Father, find it possible to carry forth your purposes and to fulfill promises which have long been held back. Father, I thank you for the greater struggles of our day and the thickening atmosphere to which we are entering, that the body of Christ, the church which is your body, you're raising up intercessors who have learned the secret of taking hold of the power of God and directing it against the strategic advances of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, that by the Holy Spirit and by the prayers in Ephesians, that the eyes of our understanding have been enlightened, that we are those who have understanding of the times. And through the word, we have the understanding of what Israel should do. And so we look to the word today. Remember at the beginning of this prayer call, when we read Ephesians, and it says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying. And so I would like to take the word of God praying concerning Israel. And so if you'll turn in your Bible to Ezekiel chapter, let me see, chapter 38, I believe it is. Chapter 38. One thing that our advisors there at the CUFI meeting that I spoke of earlier from Israel talked about was the building up, the increase of Iranian influence in around Israel. Remember that President Assad, his regime in Syria is just a puppet, and that area of Syria is now a foothold for Iran and Russia to participate in that area. Let me just quote something from that was written in a Maritime Strategic Assignment for Israel by a man, I don't know how you pronounce his name, it's C-H-O-R-E-V. And he wrote in that magazine, quote, Iran supports the Assad regime in Syria, and Iran participates in the war alongside Russia. Now, this is exciting when you know the word of God. And it talks about in Ezekiel 38 and verse number 5. Well, let's just begin with verse number 1, Ezekiel 38. Remember, prayers, we are praying the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. We're on sure ground here before the courtroom of heaven. And so, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Meshech, Bible scholars believe, is an ancient name for Moscow. And prophesy against him and say, Thus saith the Lord God, because I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth. This is what God's going to do. And all thine army, horses, horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Now, look at verse 5, and notice this in particular. Persia is Iran. Have you heard about Iran lately in the news? Then it gives Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Oh, Gomer, this is Turkey, and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Then the Lord goes on to say in verse 7 to this group of people, now be thou prepared. And that's what, when we're sitting in those conferences in Texas and listening to these Israeli specialists, they said, this is what's happening. This conglomeration of nations, Persia, Iran, Russia, are preparing, and that's the prophecy. I mean, prophecy is being unfolded concerning Israel like never before. We are seeing this, and verse number 7 again, be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. There are skirmishes that are occurring even in the Golan Heights, the northern border of Israel, and these are skirmishes that are Iranian instigated, or what should I say, the catalyst, and the force behind it is Iran. It's no secret. And so it's right there at the northern border. So just like the word says, be thou a guard unto them, but Israel is putting them out and destroying these military bases that Iran is trying to establish there. Verse 8, after many days thou shalt be visited. Now, friends, brother, sister, what does verse 8 say? It says in the latter years. Here we are in the latter years. This is the word of God being made flesh in the lifetime of you and me. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land, talking about this group of people that is brought back from the sword, that's Israel, and gathered out of many nations. Where are they coming? They're coming to the mountains of Israel. For those of you who have been with us on our trips to Israel, and even if you haven't, it's easy to look at a map and to see that the spinal column of the nation of Israel are those high mountains that you see on your map. And these mountains of Israel are over 90% of the Bible place names. And so this group of people are coming specifically to this area. It's what the world calls the West Bank. But God calls them the mountains of Israel. And then verse 9, it says, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. He's still talking about Persia, Ethiopia, Russia. He's still talking about Turkey. He's talking about these people. And verse 11, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn my hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. The people that are gathered out of the nations are Israel, which have gotten cattle, goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. No time in Israel's history could this biblically have described it as it is now. These places used to be waste. We used to read about it in even journals of other people back in the 1800s. They would talk about it was desolate and waste. But when God said, he who scattered Israel will gather her, that she has come back to her land, she has flourished, the land has flourished in her hand, Israel, and now there are cattle and goods on these mountains. And so you and I are there. This is the word of God. This is praying the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, verse 13, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come? So they're going to say to Persia, they're going to say to Russia, Ethiopia, these that have invaded the mountains, art thou come to take a spoil Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take great spoil? This might be a television interview. Wherefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day, when my people of Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts. Remember, Moscow is directly north of Jerusalem. Thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses and great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people. So here is God is calling Israel, my people, my people of Israel, as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. Oh, I love it. This is over 2,500 years ago, and now you and I are living in the latter days, and we're seeing this. This will come to pass. And going on in the end of verse 16, and I will bring thee against my land. Now, there's no such word as heathen in the Hebrew. It's the word nations. Now, God always has a purpose for what he does. And the purpose is that the nations may know me. Then shall I be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. This could be television. This could be through all the multiple vehicles of ways of getting to know through the internet, even seeing this with our eyes, what God's going to do. And he's going to be sanctified in the eyes of the nations. Hallelujah. Now, verse 17, thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I've spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. So there's going to be an earthquake. This is how God's going to win it supernaturally. And the eyes of the nations are going to see it. Verse 20, so that in that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of heaven and the beasts of the field and all the creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain, and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. So this war is going to be won supernaturally, and it's going to be televised, it's going to be broadcast, and the nations of the world are going to see it. Thus will God, verse 23, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we are praying this. We're holding it up before you and thanking you, Imovanta. We prayed with our understanding, the best we know how. And yet we sense in our spirit that there is more. And so we ask and trust the Holy Spirit to show us how to pray. Imokoto, give us utterance in Jesus' name. Ipapadanamoi. Evelelklosis and belikotante. Ah, the name above every name. It shall surely come to pass. Thank you, Lord, that you be sanctified, that you be glorified in the eyes of every nation, including Europe and Africa, every nation upon the face of the earth, Canada, South America. Father, your name be sanctified by winning this war according as it is written in Ezekiel 38. Well, God bless you. Wonderful prayers. Thank you for your obedience and faithfulness. And Mom will be here next week to lead you in our prayer watch for Israel. Blessings and shalom, shalom.